Thank you for listening to The Evolution of Self. I'm your host, AJQ, back with the handbook. What I find very beautiful is I recorded this around 3 weeks ago, and what happened is something triggered me, and I was in a reactionary state, a healthy state. It was very raw and vulnerable and emotional, a lot of crying, a lot of purging, a lot of releasing, and I'm not that person today. I'm in a completely different state of mind today. I'm in a different mentality today. I've learned so many things in the last 3 weeks that I am not that version anymore. And that was only 3 weeks ago. And this is so telling on how fast ascension processing can work, how quickly transformation can actually occur. It can happen in a matter of weeks. It can happen in a matter of days. Now, this girl exists. She's a part of me. She's a version of me. But she isn't here right now. She's in a different timeline. In a timeline that was still so wounded by somebody else's behaviors. There was a shift. She isn't here anymore. We love her. We thank her. We release her. It's profound to be able to watch myself and hear myself in real time like this. To see the evolution up close and personal. To actually have physical, tangible evidence of evolution. This is why I don't delete anything. So let's pick up where we left off. Here we go. I hope my story helps you find some comfort and some release in the same way that I hope it helps me. So let's start from the beginning. Once upon a time, I was in a very volatile marriage. It was the kind of marriage where you can't really get a word in edgewise because you're both just yelling because you want the other person to hear you. But you're not hearing each other because you're more concerned about being right. It was the kind of marriage where no matter what you do, it's wrong. Everything you do is wrong. From the way that you cook, the way that you put the dryer setting on, the drive you take to the store, the way you brush your teeth, everything is wrong. In this kind of dynamic, especially for 2 decades, well, it really plays on your wounds. Your wounds that told you you were dumb and you didn't matter and you're not capable of doing anything. You have to be completely dependent on another human being because you don't even know how to pump your gas correctly. It's very taxing. It drains your life away. You become a shell of yourself. You know, you may not even have known who you were yet. You may not even have formed an identity yet. But you know that something is not right here. Why do I feel like death would be better than this? This isn't a way to live. There was no growth. There was no spiritual awakening. There was no catalyst to my evolution. There was only stagnation. There was only misery. There were beautiful children. That's the reason. We always have reasons for these connections. There's always these ties. And often when you're in the middle of it, when your nervous system is hijacked, you really can't see the big picture, can you? How could you? It's usually after some healing has occurred, some time has passed, that you start to see the meaning behind it. So let's call it a contract. You've learned everything you've had to learn. Time to bounce out. And then when they're ready to end, they end. And after 20 years, I finally got the courage and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I've done that thing multiple times where his anger was a lot. But it was okay because he didn't hit me. It was an abuse because he didn't put a finger on me. And he would actually say this to me. You and I have different definitions of the word abuse. And I believed it. This society we grew up in, there's so much conditioning that tells us that it is not abuse unless it's physical. It's not abuse unless you're covered from head to toe, black and blues, right? It's not abuse unless you're assaulted. Women, we are taught to keep our fucking mouth shut because it's a way to survive. Men are taught to keep their fucking mouth shut because if they speak up, then they're a bunch of fucking pussies, right? Like, oh, you want to cry about your emotions? Man up, you fucking pussy. Yeah, so it's pretty fucked up conditioning, huh? We have to deconstruct. Because none of that is fucking true at all. I have conversations with a guy right now, and I see it, you know? Welcome to the world's biggest mirror. Here I am right in front of you, and it's like his shadows will just come out, and I could see tears forming in his eyes, and he does the thing where he hides his face because he believes that that makes him weaker. What I see is the most beauty that I have ever seen in my whole life. Openness, vulnerability, willing to grow, willing to face one's shadow. It is so fucking attractive. But you got to get out of that system. And it takes as long as it takes to break out of it. And some people don't ever break free from it. Some people really believe that emotions make them weak. Some people really believe that abuse is only physical. And that ain't it. You know, he believed in this. And he believed in it for a reason. However, it ain't it. And there's something inside of us, like victims of abuse. We are our biggest abusers. Self-abuse is the biggest type of abuse there is. It really is, and that is a hard thing to face. You have to get there when you're ready to get there. That is such a painful lesson to learn. We also have been gaslit for so long. We are led to believe that our reality is totally skewed, that what we feel isn't real, what we think isn't real, that what happened isn't real, and so we ultimately end up gaslighting ourselves. And I guess that could be a way to survive too, right? Like deep down, intuitively, like we know something's up. What does it matter? We can't fight it. We're in a situation that we can't thrive in. We're not safe here. So even if we speak up about it or what we think is something else, it's going to be met with gaslighting, deflection, blame, anger, stonewalling. We're going to get punished for opening up our mouths. So we'll just go along with it, right? Just to keep the peace. We'll survive. So behind closed doors with this person was a different story entirely. And I'm at a place right now where we have a very cordial relationship. It took 4 years of separation to get here. We certainly both had some shit. And there's a saying for a reason. You cannot heal in an environment that broke you. And I can attest to that one deeply. Because it'll just get worse. It'll get worse. I believe that if two people want to come together and they want to heal some kind of wounds that happened within the relationship, they both have to be on the same page. They both have to be transparent. There has to be accountability. There has to be communication. If only one person is willing to grow and the other person isn't, it's never going to fucking work. And that was the experience that I had, is that I was willing to work on it and the other people, they said with their words they were willing to work on it, but the actions weren't there and the words kept me stuck, believing and holding on to that hope that never came. And man, it was one of the life's longest lessons to learn about actions and words and paying attention to that. Man, I was such a sucker for words. So behind closed doors, this wasn't a good situation. And even when I would try to express it to people, like I would have a friend say, well, God says you have to keep working on a marriage and marriage is tough. So, okay, great. I'm not religious like you, but I guess that I have to stay in this really toxic dynamic because God said that I have to. I would try to have a conversation with somebody else about it. Oh, well, he's just having a rough day at work. Okay, so he's been having a rough day at work every single day for the last 7 years. But in that marriage, he would do anything for everybody except for his family. He would sacrifice his family to help out a neighbor, a coworker, a friend. And I didn't understand it then. I did not understand it. I fought it so hard, and I didn't understand it the way that I do now. The need for external validation, the need to mask, the need to look a certain way because their shame spiral is so deep that they can't face who they are. They can't face their own shadows, that they have to get this hit from the outside world. They have to be liked for who they pretend to be. And you know, maybe there's something inside of them that really is that part too. Like maybe they do enjoy being helpers, helping with society, helping with the community. Maybe. However, when they come home and they get behind that door, it's a different mask entirely. It's like there really is no mask at all. And this was actually one of the things that kept me there for much longer because my friends and my family thought he was the best person in the world. And I believed it because he was a community hero and he was a community saint. And everybody would tell me what a great guy he was. They didn't know. They didn't know. And you know what? Neither did I. And honestly, sometimes I turned into a monster too. My suicidal tendencies, my depressive states, my reactions, there was no responding. It was a nightmare. It was a very, very toxic dynamic. It was a typical thing where I pleaded for therapy. I begged him for therapy and he would go, and I got a letter in the mail 3 months later saying that he was terminated as a client for no calls, no shows. He was never showing up to his appointments. He only alluded to the fact that he was. And he pushed me into therapy. He pushed me into therapy because I had so much childhood trauma. It never stopped, really. It was like dominoes. Like, where do you get the space to breathe? Where do you get the space to learn something healthier? Does it exist? If it's one thing to another, you don't even have a moment to reflect. You don't even know what reflection is. You've never even heard of it. You've never even heard of that at 25 years old. You didn't even know that healing was a thing. So you just keep perpetuating your own patterns because you don't know any other way. This one's going to be really hard. I thank you guys for being here with me today. And I know it's going to be so relatable. So I finally see a therapist. I'm suicidal and the wait list is 4 months. How fucked up is this? And when I'm there, I ask her, do you specialize in childhood trauma? Because I got a lot of fucked up shit to talk about. And she says no. And then she actually goes out of her way and makes the effort to go to all these classes to learn things about that. That's an amazing therapist, man. That is a fucking amazing therapist. She was meant for me, I'm telling you. And I think I was meant for her too. We taught each other a lot. However, the whole time I was in these sessions, as she so kindly pointed out, you're here for childhood trauma, but I can't help notice that all you do is talk about your husband. Let me introduce you to the term gaslighting. And that was it. It was a pivotal moment. It was a timeline shift. I started to do research and I started to understand what was happening. And not that there's justification and not that it was deserved or anything, but how our wounds played off of one another. How, I guess I would say borderline traits, which I don't believe I have now. Well, at least I've healed enough. There's been no signs of it in the last 8 months. No, I did split a little bit recently, but I know it comes out more so when you're in a relationship and I've been single, so. Who's my next partner? It's okay. I imagine that they will be very grounded and healed and secure, just as I am becoming. So it's okay. It's going to be a safe space to heal that relational trauma. I do believe in that because the love is greater than the fear. So my therapist introducing me to that term, it was life-changing. And I had a conversation with him in the kitchen in front of the window. And I said, this isn't working. Like, we need this to end. This isn't working. I don't want to do this anymore. And I meant it this time. We had so many cycles. I don't think I ever knew how to be alone. Like, I wanted to be alone. But even in those moments where we were separated, like, we would still hook up physically, you know? I was never actually alone. When I was alone, I was just playing video games or on my computer, you know, messaging people for hours. I wasn't with myself. I was just distracting. I was escaping. But I was ready. Something happened, something shifted, and I was ready. And what had happened was I saw my daughter, my oldest daughter, who was 4 or 5 at the time. She was trying to put her sock on, and she couldn't do it correctly, and her go-to was to start hitting herself violently in the head. There was only one person in the house who did that, and that was him, because he had a hard time regulating his emotions, that he immediately flew into a reactionary state when he got overwhelmed. Kind of in the same way where I would fly into a reactionary state when I got overwhelmed. I didn't know how to ground myself. I didn't know how to regulate myself. It's why I would take to cutting. But I knew that it was time. You know, seeing my daughter do that, it's like it gave me the strength to break this cycle. Because she was learning this stuff now. She was picking it up now. And I wasn't going to stay together for the sake of the family. It doesn't work like that. I know that we're taught these things, like giving up on her family and it's the worst thing for them. But growing up in an environment like that, that's not safe. It's not safe to express your emotions, to express yourself, to be authentic with who you are without constantly being criticized, without constantly being judged. Learning that anger is the way to go. That ain't it. We create healthy examples for them by being the example, by doing something differently, by finding the courage to make the change. And it takes as long as it takes. And that was it. After 20 years off and on, I was finally ready to make the change. I was done fighting. I was done begging. I was done being on autopilot. I was done cutting myself. I was done being less than what I could be. And I don't mean that in the way that I was always less than. I was never less than. It was time to step into who I'm supposed to fucking be. It is time for me to be a different version of myself. It's time for me to get out of this constant state of victimhood. The shift is here. So I remember meeting him in the kitchen, and I was so defeated. I was exhausted. I was tapped out. I was done. It finally caught up. And it was like a half an hour conversation. And as soon as I was done talking, as soon as the last words came out of my mouth, this man looked like he saw a ghost. And it wasn't because I asked for a closing of a chapter. It was because right behind me on the window, there was a bird clinging onto the screen. And it had its head tilted up towards me and it was chirping. It was singing a very lovely song. And it landed just as I got done speaking, using my voice for the first time, having courage for the first time to change my life, to create a new path, a new destiny. This bird lands right behind me as like a messenger of sorts. And it felt like confirmation. It felt like for the first time in years, I saw God. I saw God. I felt God. When I was somebody who had faith and I lost it, I didn't have it anymore. I was agnostic. I believed in something, I just didn't know what. But it didn't matter anymore. Because the misery, how can you receive love? How can you receive divinity? How could you receive anything like that when you are trapped in your own suffering, when you don't know a world outside any of that pain? So my faith was dead until that moment where I looked back at that bird and I saw that bird clinging on, singing, looking right at me. And then my dogs ran over to the window and they started barking at it an inch away from its face. And it didn't budge. It just clung onto the screen, looking up at me, singing its song. Oh my god. And birds have very clearly been my messengers and have been my guides. Now, I didn't know that at the time, but I knew that that was the first time I felt something outside of myself in a long time. There is something bigger than me. There is something much bigger than what we think there is. And how can I believe in that after everything I've been shown? How can I still have that hope inside of me and that love inside of me and that faith inside of me after everything that I've experienced? That's a fucking gift. That is very real and that is a gift. Some like to prey on our empathy. Please don't ever, ever think that your empathy is a curse. It is the most beautiful thing in the world, especially when you finally turn it and apply it towards yourself. That is the very thing that is going to keep you safe and protected. Because we typically tend to apply our empathy towards everybody and everything around us, but not on ourselves. We're so forgiving, or we're seemingly forgiving, of people that hurt us. Our abandonment wound likes to do that. Our rejection wound likes to do that. We have to prove ourselves. We have to prove our worth. Why are you treating me terribly? What did I do? Here, let me get you to see that you're worthy and that you're loved and that I can heal you and that you can be fixed so that you don't have to operate in this wounded way, and I'll feel better. I'll feel loved. You can love me. And so I'll know that I'm worthy of your love. It's sad, I know. That's okay. We all connect the dots when we are ready to. I was only out of my marriage for about 6 weeks. And then him and I started talking. We started talking online, and it seemed to move pretty quickly. But I didn't really think anything of it. As I said to him, we've known each other our whole lives. And I never even had feelings for this man before. I don't understand what happened. Something shifted. I never had an attraction for him before at all. I was starting to get more comfortable, feeling more liberated. And I was finding more courage to use my voice and make more TikTok videos. Now I'm no longer hiding from the camera. I'm no longer in black and white. I'm showing my face. And I'm speaking about a lot of behaviors. And the version that I was at that time, I don't even recognize her. I see her and I'm like, well, I know that I would never operate in that way anymore. I would never just do these things because I'm not that version anymore. So sometimes these videos pop back up again and I want to delete them. And I'm like, no, this is your evolution. This is evolution of self. This whole thing is a documentary to show you not that everybody can change necessarily, but that you can change. You yourself never thought that you would be anything other than what you were in this little fucking box. And here you are, girl. Look at you. So he had the information for my TikToks and he was starting to watch my TikToks. He was learning about all this abuse, learning about the behaviors, learning about what was happening in the last 20 years. And he had that empathy, which now feigned empathy. I thought it was real. I thought it was very real. And we hung out and I remember this feeling. I had such a divide from the beginning where I felt like I was falling in love with this man talking online. But we would hang out in person and I would feel nothing. Nothing at all. It was completely gone. And then I would get home again and we would talk online and it would all come back. And then something shifted where I started to feel like that in person a couple times, and then we would talk online and it was gone. When I was away from him, it was gone. And then one fateful day, he ended up kissing me, and then everything just kind of synced up. And that changed everything. And that kiss, that fucking kiss, that was the biggest gateway drug that I would ever know. And I'll talk about that more in the next episode. For now, I'm going to leave you with this. Everything will work itself out in the end. And if not, it's not the end. I'm your host, AJQ. Thank you for listening to The Evolution of Self.